A man was walking through a park in New York City. As he walked along, he heard a bang. The next thing he knew, he was on the ground, and when he woke up, he was in the hospital. As he came to his senses, the nurse came and explained what had happened. A man had shot him in the back, and in doing so, had paralyzed him from the waist down. After he recovered enough, the police officer came and said, "We found the man who shot you. Would you like to meet him?" He agreed to meet with him. It was a 17-year-old boy who, when he went up to him, he decided to forgive him. Afterwards, they asked him, "Why did you choose to forgive him?" He said, "I have two options. I can either forgive or I can hold the grudge for the rest of my life." The same thing works for us. This is a true story, by the way. We have the choice always to show mercy, to show forgiveness. The choice is always ours. Doing so gives us freedom. Going against it leaves us in a level of animosity with people. But to really grasp what I mean by mercy, and to help us understand what it means to show mercy, I want to dive deeply into today's gospel and explain it through the different characters who explain to us what mercy looks like. We start out with the robber's victim, the guy who was beaten and left half dead. We need to become him for a moment so we understand what mercy looks like and feels like to us. So here's this guy walking along the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, other way around, Jerusalem to Jericho, and these robbers come. The robbers represent for us all the different issues of the world, the things that cause us anger, the things that beat us down, the temptations, the struggles, the different vices like lust and anger, greed, avarice, pride. All these things continue to assault us. They beat us, they assail us, and they leave us half dead. It's a painful encounter. And the robber, the victim shows us how to react. As he's laying there, Jesus comes and shows compassion. The same thing works for us. We all carry wounds. They're foul, they're festering, they bleed, they hurt, they're painful. What do we do about them? For most of us, we just ignore it and move on. Most of them don't seem to affect our lives. But if we're true to the word of what Jesus said, that he came to bring us healing, we need to bring them to him. Because just like the victim, Jesus comes and bandages them. Here's this naked man left half dead, and Jesus covers him with bandages. He restores him in such a way that he has dignity again. That's part of the bandaging. He's no longer naked, but has dignity. Then with wine and oil, the wine being antiseptic to clean out the wounds, the oil to cover them so that they're protected. The same thing with Eucharist and confirmation. In a sense, he gives him the health and nourishment he needs that comes through the Eucharist. With the oil, he anoints them and brings him in such a way as to almost become his son. The same way God takes us from this fallen and challenging world and brings us to himself, to which he makes us his own son. That's not where it ends. That's just where it begins. After doing that, the Samaritan then puts him on his own animal. He walks beside him. Think of the cost it took for him to walk alongside and give up his own animal for the sake of this man he's never met. Jesus does the same thing with us. He bears our cross with us. His cross is heavy, but to us, if he bears it with us, it is light. And so he helps us along the journey of things that are too much for us, that we may have the strength and the courage to persevere through our challenges. Arriving at the inn, he stays with him. He takes care of him. He makes sure that everything is fine. A lot of times when we get into the real dark places of our life, where things are unknown, or things are sorrowful or painful, we think that God has abandoned us. We don't feel his presence. That is not true. Usually he's so close to us that we can't feel him, or he so sympathizes with our pain that it feels like he is gone. But the acts of the Samaritan show us that God is with us even more in those times. When morning comes, he pulls out 2 silver coins, pays for everything. The man is completely taken care of in every way. In this way, the 2 coins represent for us the New and the Old Testament, the law. Jesus doesn't just abandon us, he gives us a route, a way forward, a way to recover and reclaim who we were, to go forward into the world with more vigor and excitement, even after such a tragic event. This is the law presented to us. Just as Deuteronomy tells us, the law is not something we have to go find. It's written in our hearts. It's something so close and dear to us that it gives us life and meaning. And if that wasn't enough, in the event that the man was not cured enough after that one day, he comes back. Jesus does not leave us alone. He continues to come, but now we have more autonomy. We have more freedom as to what we wish to do. Do we wish to comply and listen? Do we wish to go our own way? What is next? That's up for us. In this way, Jesus shows us immense mercy. He wants to be there every step of the way, something that's unsettling to us. To really feel that great mercy of God is almost painful because it requires response. We don't just get to be like, yay, I felt God's mercy and I do whatever I feel like now. Being so merciful means that we have to in response, which means let's flip the story. We are now the Samaritan. Well, conversely, that's not where we're at yet. A lot of times we see this story from a different perspective. We're the priest or the Levite. We wander through and we make judgments upon people. We destroy their dignity. We make it seem like they have no value because of how we interact with them. The Samaritan shows us a different way forward. If we are truly empowered by God's mercy, if we have felt that to an extent that it's changed our lives, then the next reaction is to show mercy to others. So we become the Samaritan. We see someone wounded, which is everyone. No one is an exception in this case. Everyone carries wounds. Everyone has pain. We are not exempt. But that's not the point. The point is we can bring healing to people. We can say, let me walk with you. Let me show you the route. Here, I know a God who brings healing. Let me help you with this. It's a compassionate move because the Samaritan was overwhelmed by compassion at the sight of this man. In the same way, it's not just enough to bandage the wounds. We can walk with people. Walk with them in their darkness and pain. It's not scary if we walk together. It's only scary when we're alone, which is one of the joys of mercy. We get to be there in the midst of the suffering and see light come out of it. Then, if we're really willing to show what God has done for us, it costs us something. Mercy means we have to give of ourselves. It's not just this act of freedom and we kind of move on. It costs us either the transportation, the way forward, or it costs us our own being, our own sustenance, the things we have. We have to give of ourselves to really be merciful, either to let go of past complaints or problems or grudges and stuff like that, or to move forward in such a way as to allow people freedom. This is the route of mercy. It's one that's beautiful and exciting. I encourage you, I challenge you, to not only open yourselves up to the mercy of God, to let that power flow in you, healing you, giving you strength, showing you what God can do, but then again, express it to the people around us. Show people mercy. Recognize the dignity of each person we meet. See the pain and suffering of each person, that we may be like the Samaritan and show compassion. Let ourselves be given away so we may imitate Christ, who loves us and gave his life for us. Because Jesus challenges the poor scribe who thought he had it right. And after seeing this example of the Samaritan, he's told to go do likewise. So are we. Let us go and show mercy to the people we meet. Let us be merciful people, that God may be shown through us and bring mercy to a world shattered by darkness and gloom.